goody, here it comes.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
Oh my God, don't stop now!
With your hosts, Ryan, John, and Elaine.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show, the madhouse for film freaks and film fans of all types. I'm your host, Brian Connington, joined by my fellow co-hosts and filmmakers, John and Lane Woolscroft.
What's happening, Cap'n?
Captain Marvel, she's a hero.
Gonna take pollution down to zero. Oh. See, I was going with the real one, and you had to do that.
Had to get a little rugged.
Had to make it more relevant.
Welcome back, Elaine.
I never
we
left.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, you did.
That's right. I did leave
We're
for Event Horizon.
Yeah. No, why would we be bulk recording these?
Out of order. I missed you for Event Horizon.
Out of order and questioning our episode numbers.
Listen, we always do that shit. We never know what we're doing.
Yeah, well,
we just work here. It's fine.
We're in episode 133. And this week we are reviewing Marvel's newest entry into the ever-growing MCU, Captain Marvel.
The ever-growing... It was a B+.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hey, now. No. but yeah, Captain Marvel. Wow.
Hey, you know, it's been highly anticipated.
It has been highly anticipated.
Now it's here.
And yeah, it's here.
It was a thing.
It was a thing.
Wow.
It was something.
I have a feeling I'm outnumbered on this episode.
No, you know what? It was very entertained, but it's nothing special, just like every other Marvel
man.
Movie.
I have some issues.
Oh God, Lane's got some issues, and I liked it. So okay, where do we want to start on this one? Do we want to get where we're at in terms of time? So when we last left Marvel, the universe, everyone got fucking dusted.
Yeah, we had the Big Bang explosion,
Big Bang
cast member, the
Spoiler
Robert Altman
alert.
Avenger movie.
By the way, when people online call it either the snappening or the snapture, I want to put a bullet in my mouth. The snapture.
Hashtag snapture.
It makes me kind of grumpy, I'm not going to lie.
That sounds like the porno version.
It does sound like the porno version.
Mm-hmm.
The snappening.
Infinity whore.
Infinity whore?
Yeah. Listen, this is why we keep this bastard around, okay? This is what he's good for.
Once female Thanos gets the Infinity Undies.
Oh my. Oh my.
With one quiff, she can undo us all.
Or the Infinity Cock Ring.
Cool, so I'll see you guys later. Didn't miss you last week. Just kidding. I'll be face down on the front lawn if you guys need me.
Come on. You're not for Infinity Cock Ring.
No.
Look, Cocked in America needs to save us all.
Oh, you guys, you guys are the worst ever.
Yeah, we are. So,
and of course, the hammer wielding whore. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Of course.
Whore?
Of course.
Okay, so
it's on a Bowden.
You're not going to make this easy, are you? I'm trying to transition us.
You can
away
follow
from
us all on Twitter. Thank you for tuning
Good night,
in.
Good night, everybody.
So, anyway, after the snappening.
Fucker.
After the snappening, we did get a little bit of reprieve with Ant-Man and the Wasp, which was kind of our humorous, hey, cleanse your palate of all the death movies.
Which was a lot like this movie. It was just another Marvel movie.
I would say, I don't agree with that. I think that Ant-Man and the Wasp was really designed to cleanse the palate. I don't think it was designed to, you know, be any sort of serious movie. It was like, hey, the last movie was way serious and a lot of death. Well,
so are you saying that Ant-Man and Wasp was like a sorbet of sorts?
Yes, yes,
that
I do.
Makes sense Marvel because
yeah, I do.
Paul Rudd is still a snack, so that works for me.
Mm. Yeah, he should have got
the Infinity Cock Ring.
He's a cutie.
Yeah. So anyway, there's been a bit of time between Ant-Man and the Wasp and this movie coming out, and this time around we are jumping way back in time to a time that all three of us remember.
Oh, maybe you feel so old and stupid.
What, fall of 95? Is that?
This is fall of 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music tracks with that, except I don't think Tragic Kingdom came out until 96, so that was out of place.
It might have been early.
It might have been
there was
early
a True Lies thing at the video store.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's what oriented you.
It might have, been early 96 when that came out on on tape.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Because it did. Back in the day, it took a while. Now, like, they just slap shit on a DVD if it doesn't do very well at the theater.
It's true.
You know, so right off the bat, I would say this film, I felt literally this movie was only made just to put her into Endgame. That's the only reason for its existence.
And that's what I'm getting kind of tired of. Like, probably. There's no passion for the storytelling. It just seems like it's serving the greater machine. I feel like they might as well be squirting out Hershey bars or something. Like, it's so manufactured.
I don't know. See, I disagree with that. I felt that this movie was different than any of the other Marvel films that have come prior to it.
Oh, really? Tell me, in what ways? Yeah. Tell me.
Okay, so the biggest one I saw, and this is something that I've talked about when we've reviewed any other Marvel film, is that Marvel films tend to have a checklist of things that they need to include to progress to the bigger, you know, fight or bigger plot.
Okay.
Okay. So the biggest, you know, one of course was Age of Ultron, which I felt was an entire waste of a fucking movie.
Age of Ultron was just pretty bad because
it was. Okay, we have to set up Infinity War, so we're going to have Thor go on a magical adventure, which he's going to go through some visions and all sorts of shit, and we have to introduce Vision.
So we have to be in Ragnarok.
Yes, you know, and it was nothing but a giant commercial for
Iron Man 2.
Another movie. Iron Man 2, not nearly as much. Iron Man 2, they had tried to do something different, and it backfired on them. Because they tried to do too much.
Black Widow in there, and we're talking about the Avengers Initiative.
I mean, I'm okay with them doing that, because if you look at the Marvel comics, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, some other character from some other, you know, series will show up in there just because it's a shared universe. So I don't have too much of a problem with that, and I don't have too much of...
In the comics, there's like 300 or 400 issues, right? These are only, like, each character only gets 3 movies. And then shared ones. So it's a little bit different.
It is a little bit different, but that's also just because you're dealing with movies, too. Yeah. So I do think that that's okay. And I'm okay with, you know, including elements from that shared universe. But what I liked about Captain Marvel was, one, they didn't have a giant laser in the fucking sky.
That was helpful.
Okay. They didn't have a giant fucking laser in the sky. And I didn't really see a checklist of things that had to be in it. Now, obviously, they did include that beeper thing because that tied directly to her, you know, which I was like, okay, well, why would Nick Fury have a beeper in, you know, 2018?
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a question I had, like, why the fuck does he got a beeper?
Because he sells drugs on the side.
But
my God.
He could, I don't know.
You want to burn a phone and a beeper, you know?
He's spending a lot of time in Amsterdam, so, I mean, you know, whatever.
He does a little side hustle as a doctor.
SHIELD doesn't pay too much. Yeah. So, you know, I like that there wasn't a checklist of, we have to do X, Y, and Z to get to Infinity War. I also like that they really didn't include Infinity War at all in this movie. This was pretty much a standalone.
Except for the first credit scene.
Yeah, but that was expected.
Right.
I expected that to be in there. But what I liked is that no one mentioned Thanos. No one mentioned anything else other than what was going on at the current time in the movie. It was nice to have that. And it's kind of the same way that Wonder Woman was, too. The only difference is it didn't have that shitty ending with, you know, basically
Throwing tanks and laser eyes and
shit like that all over the place. So it felt more to me kind of how Wonder Woman was its own standalone entry rather than just, hey, here's a commercial for the next Marvel film. So that's kind of where I saw it as a positive, you know?
I mean, obviously we're here to critique it and break it down. I mean, I was entertained. It was an enjoyable time. But I would put it in the same way I did with Ant-Man and Wasp. You know, I would, on reviewings of Infinity War, that is just a loud, kind of annoying movie. I originally gave it a 7. I might give it a 5 now.
We rewatched it on Netflix recently, we both were like, "Meh." Yeah. Well, John, can you take us through the plot of Captain Marvel when you're finished making your point there?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far ahead. We have a bad habit of doing that.
You want me to give you a synopsis? Because we tried doing this. This is a new thing, Lane, since you haven't been here. Oh, yeah. We're reading synopsis.
You're
going to
be gone in 2 weeks. Not that we recorded already.
I'm missing shit. Damn it.
So, but yeah, John, go ahead and finish your point, and then I'll read the synopsis.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't of any value. Go ahead.
I'm sure, of course, it was of value. I think I've already forgotten.
Whatever was from your brain was worth it, sweetheart.
Yeah, no, I just, like, I did feel that this movie was just very much like Ant-Man and Wasp, and I think a lot of people are building it up, and understandably so, because it is a female-led superhero in the Marvel universe. You know, we had that with Wonder Woman, but now we're getting it here. But I think if you look at it just as a film and take that out of the equation, this is just another Ant-Man and Wasp. You know, it's not...
not as quirky and funny, but yeah.
And it's,
I
it's
see
not
where you're
as
coming
high
from.
Stakes as, you know, the new the next Avengers movie or whatever, maybe. You know.
I disagree. So anyway, here's the synopsis for Captain Marvel. Okay, Captain Marvel is an extraterrestrial Kree warrior who finds herself caught in the middle of an intergalactic battle between her people and the Skrulls. Living on Earth in 1995, she keeps having reoccurring memories of another life as a U.S. Air Force captain, pilot, Carol Danvers. With the help of Nick Fury, Captain Marvel tries to uncover the secrets of her past while harnessing her special superpowers to end the war with the evil Skrulls.
Okay. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad, Marvel. Good job. So this movie... you know, one, we're going to spoil the shit out of it. So, you know, spoiler warning
That's
ahead.
That's why we gave you 2 weeks.
So we gave you 2 weeks. So this movie, you know, it starts off where we're at the Kree homeworld, which we've already been introduced to the Kree. And they're basically, they sometimes are good and sometimes are bad. And most of the times they're bad. Now, I don't know, you guys watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
I don't. I know you love that show.
I do. So the Kree are actually... very prominent in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. storylines. They're basically the people responsible for the Inhumans in that storyline. So they're Kree genetic experiments on human beings that turn them into kind of mutants. Like, they can't use X-Men, so they had to find a way to do that. So that's how they do it. But, you know, you've got that introduced to it. You also have... this most recent one where they flash forward in time to a point where the Kree have basically taken over Earth as a colony and have subjugated human beings on a basically it's like a space station. So not the last season was not very good, honestly, in my opinion. But the point is that we've already kind of been introduced to who the Kree are. We also were introduced to the Kree in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, between the Kree and the Nova Corps, Ronan the Accuser being the biggest one. This movie takes place prior to Ronan becoming a crazy person who wanted to kill everybody. Yeah. That's why his face looks a little bit different. He doesn't have black shit all over his face because he hasn't become a crazy zealot. So,
right.
But yeah, Carol Danvers, who goes by the name Vers.
Mm-hmm. Or Vers. It's Vers.
Vias.
Vias.
It's like Heidi Klum on Project Runway. So Vias.
So Vias.
So, and... she's being trained by, you know, Jude Law, which I forget his fucking
Rando
name.
Rando Jude Law, Yon Rogg.
Yeah,
Yon
Rogg. I had a senior moment in the movie, and I was like, wait a minute, isn't that Vision?
It was amazing. He, like, leaned over to me. He's like, why is he in this? He's like, he's Vision. And I was like, babe, that's Paul Bettany. He was like, oh, shit.
Same guy.
They're not.
It was so funny.
No, they're not the same guy.
Crumpet eating tea drinking motherfuckers.
It was incredible. I laughed my ass
off. Wow. Yeah, so he plays Yon Rogg, and he's basically like, you know, Carol Danvers' mentor. Okay, like he's training her, and he basically represents the I'm the strong Kree warrior, blah, blah, blah. Emotions bad, lady parts. Cause motions, and yeah, you can never be a warrior because you're lady parts like that. And honestly,
it was weird. Yeah,
that's what I got was that sort of thing.
Well, it does mirror apparently like what she went through on Earth, where her dad's like, you can't race, you know, go karts, and you can't play softball, and you can't be a pilot.
Well, we'll talk about this more later, but I got the impression that her dad was like kind of abusive, actually,
a little bit.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Get a sense of emotional, physical,
we'll
or
talk
sexual,
about it.
But,
we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, but the point is that she has these powers that she believes were given to her by the Kree, but she has a spotty memory, so her memory really isn't complete. She gets, you know, flashes of being on Earth and being an Air Force pilot.
It was all over the place in the beginning. Like, I bet some of the smaller kids in the movie were probably confused on what the hell was going on.
I mean, I will say that is that this movie kind of started off like ground running.
Yeah.
With now out any sort of like
it definitely dumped you head first.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No.
You know, how many times have we seen movies, especially origin stories, where half the movie is their origin before you actually finally get to them?
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a good point.
So I got that, and that's fine. But it also kind of goes off of, hey, we know who the Kree are already. Like, that's the whole idea, is that you're jumping in already knowing
right.
that we're in space and that we're on another planet. So, you know, she meets with the Supreme Intelligence. The Supreme Intelligence is kind of like the overlord AI that rules all of the Kree Empire.
And right. it'll be whatever you yes. want it to. It's like Contact.
It is very much like Contact.
I was so excited to see Annette Bening was in this movie, and I was like real disappointed because, like, I don't know. That's the form that the Supreme Intelligence
well,
takes.
For her. For when her, she, yes.
I was just about to say that when she appears to Carol. and she's the only one that sees her that way. But like Annette Bening's character, spoiler alert, isn't actually alive at any part of the film. She's only shown in flashback or as the Supreme Intelligence. I was bummed. I love Annette Bening.
You wanted some more Annette Bening in there?
She's amazing. I love her.
Yeah. So Annette Bening basically says, we're going to call her Annette Bening.
Yeah.
So Supreme Intelligence basically tells Veers that she really needs to control her emotions. And if she wants to harness her power and use her power.
So she can become a Jedi.
So she can become control a Jedi.
Persons. Control, control.
You must learn you control. You must learn
control.
And sends her on a mission. Which, the one criticism I could say is like, you just got done basically yelling at her, telling her, control your emotions. So here, go on this dangerous mission.
Yeah, that's going to give you a lot of
emotions. That's
going
to give you a lot of emotions.
Yeah, it's going to make you feel super good inside.
Have fun with that. Yeah. They go on this mission to try to rescue this spy that works for the Kree on an alien world that is inhabited by not the Skrulls, but we're introduced to who the Skrulls are. Do you want to talk a little bit about who the Skrulls are?
The Jolly Green Giants?
Yeah. Yes. Jolly Green Giants.
Yeah, they are. It's cool because they are shapeshifters.
Yes.
Which, you know, that if they so see badass. Something, they can take the form of it. And I thought,
except for file cabinets, they can't do a file cabinet.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't want to. Yeah. He didn't say they couldn't.
But yeah. So, and you know, they start, you know, on a mission against them, but they can make themselves look like anybody. Whatever they look at.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a big commotion, a big fight breaks out because there's a lot of confusion because they're taking the forms of their allies and cohorts, which leads to, Captain Marvel, Vias. Getting kidnapped.
Yes.
And then kind of like putting some laser beams between her ears and trying to suck out some juice.
Yes.
Yeah. And they have her
brain
her power
cells.
Hands all cuffed up.
And, right. And they, and yeah. you can hear the voice of the Skrulls or the lead Skrull, at least yeah. in this one, mm-hmm. played by professional bad guy, Ben Mendelsohn.
Right.
Who I got to say, he did a complete 180 for me.
Well, did anyone movie. Think it was funny that, like, he was himself, like,
yes.
when he impersonated the, like, boss guy? I thought
yeah.
that was hysterical.
Yeah. Professional bad guy, Ben Mendelsohn, you know, as the Skrull leader in this, who, you know, they're trying to find a memory in Captain Marvel's head. And so they're cycling back through all of her memories,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeing those flashes of the real Carol Danvers.
Yeah, and she's kind of experiencing them in real time as
yes.
they're, like, I don't know,
yes.
rifling through her brain like
yep.
a file folder.
Yep, pretty much. And they keep saying, okay, back up, focus on. So, like, they're looking and reading and at the same time controlling her memories to get information. And they're trying to find.
It was trippy. I thought it was cool the way they did
that. I thought it was
neat.
I thought it was really cool. And they're trying to find a specific doctor who Annette Bening is playing. What was her name? It was
Captain Bening.
No, it was not Captain Bening.
Yeah,
but she wasn't the Supreme Intelligence, but she was yeah. basically
scientist
lady.
Lawson.
Wendy Lawson.
I remember thinking
yes.
it was weird that it was so close to Larson, which is Bree's real name.
Yeah, Wendy Lawson, who is a scientist on Earth. And apparently Carol Danvers had, you know, worked with her.
Mm-hmm. When she was in the Air
when
Force.
When she was in the Air Force.
Because apparently she was in the Air Force.
And ultimately Captain Marvel wakes up out of this trance. you know, and beats the shit out of all of the Skrulls.
That was pretty dope, man. Like, she's so powerful. She is awesome.
Extremely powerful. Beats the shit out of all the Skrulls and ends up crash landing on Earth at a Blockbuster.
As you do.
Oh, my God.
As one does.
Yeah. So good.
When the movie needs to take place on Earth.
Yes.
Well, it was so funny because, you know, John and I just, we saw it in the theater together and we were like way in the back, you know, where we wouldn't bother anybody. And when she crashes through that Blockbuster, you only see the roof. Like, for anyone who hasn't seen the film, you only see her crash through the very top of the roof. And then the camera pans down and you see Blockbuster and pretty much everybody in our theater laughed.
Yeah.
And John,
same here.
And John was like, try imagining just telling Blockbuster in 1995 that in 2019 everyone would laugh at the sight of their store. And like, that's so true. Like, the world really, there are certain things about the world that changed that I did not expect.
Yeah, yeah. So she crash lands at Blockbuster and has a very funny interaction with the security guard.
Oh, that was amazing. I really liked that exchange.
And ends up completing a communication device to talk with Ron Yon-Rogg. Is that fucking Cree names?
Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Jude Law with gold eyes.
Jude Law with gold eyes.
And he always has gold eyes.
He does.
To me.
And he does not. They're blue. I mean, why would I know that?
Why
That's
would you
dumb.
Know that? Why
it's
would
dumb
you know that?
To know that. Mm-mm.
So,
just kidding.
I liked him more when he was Vision.
I would never have said that, but I would never have called you out, by the way. It was an honest mistake. I like that you called
well,
yourself
I was
out.
Like, what?
You were, well, I'll tell a story on myself later then.
Okay. Yeah.
So he gets in touch with Yon-Rogg and you know, they're on their way to they're gonna come there in about 22 hours to you know, rendezvous with her and I guess eliminate any of the Skrulls that also crash landed on Earth as well. And this is where we're introduced to Nick Fury. Digitally,
how do you
younger?
Feel, how
listen,
do you feel about it?
We have to talk about the digital. Yeah.
That was great.
It was fucking incredible.
It was incredible.
It was. I
have never seen
it. They must have just been saving it all up for this movie because
Jesus
it was
Christ,
incredible! I with him, I could never tell. There
no.
was like a moment with Coulson where I was like,
it was
at the very end of the movie. Oh, okay. It was, but it was at the very end of the movie where Coulson just didn't quite look right. But
yes,
but Nick Fury.
I know
Fury
exactly
looked,
what moment you're talking about.
Nick Fury, I mean, I would never have guessed. I would have just assumed like that was an, I mean, you couldn't tell. It looked incredible. It's so interesting and exciting because, I mean, all of the things that technology could do, I'm not sure if we should do it, but my God.
To be fair, I don't think that Samuel L. Jackson needed too much work.
Yeah, he looks pretty good still,
well,
I guess.
You know, the thing is, I go back to Die Hard with a Vengeance, which came out in 95, and the thing is, he looks younger in this Captain Marvel movie than he did in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's
amazing. He looks kind of like Long Kiss Goodnight version.
Yeah. Wow.
Like 96. That was 96. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm like, that's Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I thought the technology was amazing. And trust me, I was looking for flaws. I was looking for it to not look right. There was no uncanny valley for me with this one. It looked like him. It was flawless. It looked like it looked human.
Well, as I said, I think with that particular transformation, where, as I said, like Samuel L. Jackson, he doesn't look that old.
And if you dye the beard and the hair, then that's like half the job anyway.
Yeah, he's like in his mid to late 70s even, and he looks like he's like 50.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But
so,
yeah.
I mean, he already ages really well. So, I mean, you really, you're basically correcting gravity.
Yeah.
like you're correcting some gravity issues there.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was
amazing.
Man. I was really impressed.
Did you guys think that Nick Fury was a little goofy in this movie?
I love the fact
he was
goofy.
Like more madcap because he's like,
apparently this whole
very
Avengers
stern
initiative has broken him.
Well, wouldn't it break you, dude? Like, come on. Some bullshit.
I
the world's always in trouble.
I love the fact that this was a more relaxed version.
The softer side of
not
Nick.
Just softer side, but just like he, you know, this is his first introduction to anything that
meta
is
humans.
Basically anything that is extraterrestrial, let alone superpowers, right?
Right.
Like this is his first introduction, you know. So, yeah, everything up to this point has been, I dealt with drug dealers and, you know, I dealt with, you know, earthbound issues. Not really, you know, aliens and shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be goofy. And I thought it was fine because that what sort of reaction would you have if you found a woman who could shoot shit out of her hands?
It's true. Like, and I haven't really liked his character in the later years because I think he's really ruthless.
Yeah, he is.
And like he pulls a lot of bullshit. And so it was just kind of nice to see a version of him that I didn't dislike.
What I want to know is kind of what you alluded to, John. Something must have happened to make him more ruthless over time. So like something between when Captain Marvel came out as well and in between when Iron Man came out must have happened to cause him to become more serious. You know,
maybe.
So, like, it for me, it opens a door for him. Why can't there be a Nick Fury movie?
That would be cool.
Takes place after
we
this.
Know they have the technology to freaking do it. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
come on.
Sam Jackson will make it.
He will.
You know what though? He is like a fine actor. He seems like an okay dude. I don't mind. He can take whatever job he wants. I don't give a shit.
Stan Lee, not counting. I wonder if he has made the most Marvel Cinematic Universe movies now.
He might have.
Besides Robert Downey Jr.
He might. He. I don't know. I bet they're.
Well, with this one, this is one he has over Robert Downey. So
that's true.
Yeah, and well, in the upcoming Spider-Man movie, which boy, I hated seeing that trailer.
Yeah,
it's such bullshit.
Everything will be fine. There are no consequences to anything.
Just like don't fucking market one movie on top of another.
No.
Like,
no,
I hate that. Marvel, you guys suck.
Well, I was saying this to Brian earlier. It's like, you know, when you see Return of the Jedi, that like the good guys are gonna win. And the Empire is going to fall. But you don't want to see, like, a trailer for Episode 7, Luke's Barbecue with Han and Leia, where they celebrate their victory. It's like, wait, I'm in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Luke's Barbecue?
Yeah.
And let me guess, Darth Vader is the charcoal.
Yeah. Thanks, Pops. You really helped out here.
Oh, dark humor on this show, as always, for you, dear listener. We love
you. Who wants another Banta burger?
Who wants a shrimp on the Darth?
You cut the pineapple in a Death Star? Sure can.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
So, anyway, we're introduced to Nick Fury. We're also introduced to a very young Agent Coulson, who is a rookie.
Yeah, and they definitely de-aged him as well. It didn't look as good.
I don't think it looked as good.
They
because
put all their money in
his wig was weird.
Well, his wig, and he already looked much older, like in reality.
Yeah.
So they had to do a lot more work. I think. True. I think they had to smooth him out a bit more.
I did see an interview with him, and I was like, "Oh, I was like, you did get old," because I'm just imagining him from like the first time I saw him in a Marvel movie, which was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
we're introduced to those two characters, and they completely don't believe anything Carol Danvers is saying. And this is also around the same time when a Skrull tries to shoot her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just saw this 24 hours ago and I'm like,
me too.
Yeah.
But it's not like we're marathoning like four episodes at all or anything like that.
It's not like we're fried just
not like we're
a
fried.
Little bit.
Skrull tries to shoot at her and ultimately leads to a big car chase.
Reminded me of the French Connection, but with aliens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she and the Skrull are on the public transit, and then
and,
Nick Fury
and
Coulson
Fury's
are
driving
following.
By, chasing Nick's... down the. So it basically is the French Connection.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a nice action sequence.
It was not bad. It was not bad. And in the whole car chase, Coulson's replicated by one of the Skrulls, and that causes Fury to crash a car. And really sees that everything that Carol was saying was absolutely 100% true.
Yeah, he's seen everything now.
He's seen everything
now. He's
seen
the Jolly Green Giant.
He's shook.
He's seen Laser Beam Chick.
Laser Beam Chick. Yeah.
There were a lot of...
I love on the train, too, when she punches the old lady in the face.
That was great.
And everybody's just like, oh! Not like, let's help that old lady.
Well, the train was
let's
great.
Let's let the cosplayer beat up this
the
old
train was...
They, like, pulled her away from the lady, like, several times, dude.
The train sequence was great because we had a couple different nods. One... We got our Stan Lee nod, and it was done in the most artful way.
Is he still gonna cameo from the grave?
I hope not.
Because that's not him, right?
Yeah. No, that's him.
Didn't they digitally put him in there?
No, they shot this ages ago.
They did?
Yeah.
Are we sure about that? That's not
that's
digital
him.
Stan Lee?
No, that's him.
Okay.
I think this is his last one, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty sure this is his last one. So
and just real quick, speaking of Stan Lee, the beginning credits had a nice tribute to him and said thank you, Stan.
Like, yeah, did it
our theater applauded for a long time. Did your
we
guys?
Did ours didn't
ours like applauded. Everybody was like Very jovial.
Washington Crown Center.
Nah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, miserable there in Washington. Yeah. Just kidding.
Just kidding. We've literally never been there.
Yeah. So anyway, I love the fact that Stan Lee, again, to tie in with the time, is reading the script for fucking Mallrats.
I thought that was hysterical. Yeah. I mean, do you think, like, Kevin Smith knew that was, like, happening?
Of course he did.
But, well, I mean, do you think he, like, shit his pants when they told him?
Yeah, that they were going to do it. Apparently he blubbered like a baby when he saw it.
Yeah, oh, dude, that's God. What I would fucking cry. Yeah. What I wondered. I wondered if he, like, bawled.
I just loved it because it tied exactly in the time period.
It did. I know. I know what you're saying, man. I totally agree. Period.
Gosh, I wish we had an episode on Kevin Smith.
Gee.
Wow.
But John, I think we have our filmmaker retrospective on Kevin Smith.
Oh, check that out in the archives when you're done with this Captain Marvel review.
Kevin Smith, we love you. Please come on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get this awesome subway sequence in which, you know, we get our Stan Lee cameo. We also get Captain Marvel beating the shit out of that old chick.
That was hilarious. But, like, did the other people not notice how spry Granny was?
That's what I was going
to
say.
Granny was very spry.
And Granny's allowed to be spry. Don't be ageist.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Yeah, but Granny was, like, so whipping around through poles, the roof of the train. Jumping through the roof. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. And after this whole chase, you know, we then get, you know, an autopsy. An alien autopsy.
On the Skrull, because...
Little Roswell action.
Little Roswell action.
Yeah.
Because they were able to apprehend, like, the Skrull, because she, like, killed it.
Yeah, he's dead.
But what happened was then S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of caught up with them. You know, Fury and Coulson caught up with them. But in the course of the car chase, Fury found out that Coulson wasn't Coulson.
Yeah,
he was a Skrull.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, I was just saying, like, he had the, he was the one that brought it in and had the, like, the force of mind to, like, cover up the face and, like, then catch up with Captain Marvel after the fact.
It's just interesting because, like, around that same time, I remember the Alien Autopsy, like, TV show. Do you remember that?
Oh, it was hosted by, the Star Trek guy.
Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes, yeah.
Is there anything Jonathan Frakes didn't host?
Well, it
no.
was right when he
no,
was
there
doing-
isn't.
The Beyond Belief Factor Fiction,
dude.
Show?
That is my
that
favorite.
Was nine, no, that was 98.
That is my favorite 99. Drinking game.
Right. Well, it was
the
yeah,
Beyond Belief,
but it was around that the 90s eight, time.
Yeah,
so obviously yeah. he's going to do the Roswell, real or fake.
But I just remember that around 95, yeah. 96 being yeah. when people were like, "Oh, alien autopsy."
Yeah, people were obsessed with aliens then.
So it was X-Files.
Yeah, it definitely yeah. was. Oh, but it
God,
was just
I
interesting
X-Files.
To see that replicated. In that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way they laid it out.
Yeah, it was a neat part of the theme. I agree.
So, you know, then we get this whole thing where, you know, Fury's trying to get back in touch with, you know, Captain Marvel, who is, again, trying to uncover these visions that she's having. And it leads her to blanking on stuff here.
Well, she ends up at the bar. That's
yeah,
where
she
he
does
meets up
end up
her.
At the bar. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, because
she blows up the jukebox. I was like, oh, come on, man. How are people going to listen to, like, No Doubt and Nirvana now? And
that's true.
Yeah, yeah, she stole an outfit and a motorcycle and kind of headed out and went to that bar.
Yep. Ends up at the bar, meets Fury again. And basically, you know, that's where they hit it off and start to become buddies. Because this becomes like a buddy cop type movie.
Yeah,
it kind of was. That's a good point.
Good cop, bad cop, or
good cop, bad
oblivious cop,
cop
and like
Superwoman.
Yeah.
Human cop, alien cop.
Yeah.
And they end up trying to trace down Annette Bening.
Yes, they end up trying to trace down Annette Bening because she,
you Dr.
know,
Lawson.
Fury can get into the Air Force
Dr.
base
Scientist. Yeah.
where Dr. Scientist was at.
Which was so weird that, like, it was so clear they were laying the foundation where it's like, Nicholas Joseph Fury. It's like, oh, your middle name's Joseph, or why do you have three names? It's like, I'm just Fury. Everyone calls me Fury. What's your mom call you? Fury. What would your kids call you? Fury. Everyone calls me Fury. It's like, gee, they're not laying the ground for anything, are they?
And then no, when, not at all.
Then when yeah, one of his colleagues later on's like, good job, Nicholas. We go, oh, he's
yeah, man.
One of them.
Mendelsohn with Mendelsohn's actual face.
Yeah,
his bad guy face. Yeah, so they go to the Air Force base, and they immediately are detained because they mentioned Dr. Lawson's name, who, you know, is dead. We find out.
Yeah.
She died.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bullshit. I love Annette Bening.
Bullshit. I love Annette Bening. And, you know, basically at this point, you know, we get some really cool things. We find out that Nick Fury is not just, you know, future director of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's also a little bit of a MacGyver.
Yeah.
You like that?
He was pretty cool.
Oh, he could do, like, the finger trick.
The finger trick, yeah.
Yeah, that was neat.
With the tape. And that was funny, is she was like, "You wait a minute, you've let me play around with the tape when you could just blow the door open?"
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
And I got to say, like, just as a sidebar here, I thought that the chemistry and comedy between Fury and Captain Marvel was great.
That was something that really worked.
I thought it was really
You could
solid.
Tell they liked each other yeah. in real life. You could yeah. tell.
Well, Brie Larson was fantastic in this movie.
She was. Like, oh, my God. She was so good. I like her so much.
She knew how to, like, play it seriously without being a straight woman at the same time, yeah. which mm-hmm. is nearly impossible to do. Because she was, like, funny and quirky, but not too much. And also kind of a straight man, but not too much. Like,
yeah.
she wrote that line very mm-hmm. well.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think I know why they gave her that Oscar. You know?
Yeah, I think that she deserved that weird award she got.
That weird little man.
Yeah.
So anyway, they end up at the archives, and that's where they discover, you know, one, that Dr. Lawson was working on a interstellar drive, basically, and that it went bad, and it crashed. And that there was a pilot who died, supposedly, with her. And it's revealed that it's basically Carol Danvers.
Yeah, they find this all out, like, in the files and stuff. So, like, so Veers is kind of going through all this information and realizing, like, holy shit, like, I belonged on Earth at one point. What is going on?
Yep.
And then, at the same time...
the Skrulls are coming after them.
Right. Coming in the building.
You know... professional bad guy Ben Mendelsohn is in his human skin.
Right, but he's kind of coming under the guise of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Because Fury had called for backup.
Yep, yep. And they end up, you know, after a big, like, gunfight and that sort of thing and fighting back and forth, they end up escaping. And they go to the only place where they think that they're safe, which is Carol Danvers' friend, blank on names here.
Maria, Captain
Marvel's
right?
friend.
Is it?
Was she Maria?
Maria, yes. Yeah, Maria.
You nailing all these names.
Yeah, they go to
her daughter's name is Monica.
Oh.
You guys are welcome.
That's because she was wearing a necklace that said Monica, and you just remember the necklace.
Do I? I remember them calling her Monica.
Oh, well, that too.
Lieutenant Trouble.
Lieutenant Trouble.
That was so cute.
So, you know, basically we get the reconnection of Carol Danvers with her real life. You know, by visiting Maria, you know, you get kind of flooded with all of the memories that they had and everything. And this is the point where it's also revealed the Skrulls aren't the villain.
Right.
At this point.
But at that point, when she gets there, it's like, is it going to be really difficult for her to, like, deal with the fact that she's, you know, reconnecting with her private or former life and her friends are now seeing a person they thought was dead? No, it'd be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
All right. You got to put, like, a quarter in the steel jar.
Yeah, that's Ryan George on YouTube. Thank
you
for that one.
You owe Ryan George a Coke.
Okay.
They just kind of brush over the fact that it's like, hey, I thought you were dead. Nah, I'm fine. And I don't really know who I am. And I got superpowers. Neat. Cool. Fine. Let's move on.
Well, too, this is the first problem. This is the first problem I had with the movie, because my problems with the movie were writing based. I thought the visuals were pretty good as far as Marvel goes. Like, I'm kind of over it. Like, I'm still, you know, Black Panther is still my favorite and the only one that I think that's been very fresh in a long time. But
in terms of visuals?
In terms of everything. Yeah. Black Panther is my favorite.
I have issues with it.
Black Panther is my favorite. But what I was going to say is that I've seen that story before. I know who the enemy is. I'm stalwart and just... Oh my God, my friends are the enemy and I'm on the side of wrong. Oh my God, I'm the enemy. I've seen that shit before.
Yeah.
Boring.
I didn't have a problem with it. And it's partially because of the fact that, one, they got professional bad guy Ben Mendelsohn, who I completely thought was the villain because he's the villain in literally... Every
it's a
single
swerve, bro.
Movie.
He should have got Sean Bean.
He was fantastic in it, truly.
But my point is, like, I, for the whole time, up until the point where it's revealed that he's actually, you know, being, like, his race is mm-hmm. being victimized and slowly exterminated by the Skrull, by the Kree. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm like, wait a minute, so you're telling me professional bad guy is actually good? He's
mind blown.
Mind blown. And I gotta say, like, I've seen that before, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That paradigm I've seen multiple times on movies. And at the same time, yeah, is it lazy? Probably. Mm-hmm. Does it still work for the whole movie? Sure. Because I don't think it's necessarily about the struggle between the Kree and the Skrulls. I think it's about Carol Danvers. That's what I think this is.
Yeah,
the whole
but
movie's about.
That whole idea of like, I have betrayed myself, I have no memory, and I am the thing that I thought I was fighting against. Like, that's the part I've seen before. Like,
I would slightly disagree with you, Elaine. Just, I like that there was at least some kind of like twist there where it wasn't just, you know, following that same, you know, story arc all the way through where it's like it did a 180.
And honestly, I didn't see it coming.
Well, you both can suck my balls.
I'm just telling you.
It's got pouty face.
I'm just telling you. I didn't see that one coming.
Cool.
I didn't. Did you see it coming?
No, because I got overly excited for what didn't turn out. I thought the movie was going to turn into The Thing.
Okay.
Where like you never knew who you could trust, and it was going to be like, you know, a group of heroes and a group of like humans like trying to like solve something, but you never know who's on your side and who's not.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the movie, he comes in drinking like a soda pop. It's like, sup? I'm like, oh, okay, this is no longer about that anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, at this point, that's when it's revealed the Skrulls have been victimized and are really trying to get the coordinates to Dr. Lawson's lab.
So they can get their babies.
So they can get their babies.
Yeah, babies, yeah, we did. Well, that was cool because I didn't know that was his operative. Like, that I thought was neat because they have to go and they have to find
the lab.
Lawson. I keep forgetting her last name. Lawson's secret lab.
Just say Annette Bening.
And okay, so they're finding Annette Bening's lab, but it's in orbit. So yes. It was never on Earth to begin with, which is why the Kree could never find it.
Yep.
But our Skrull friend, he just wants to be with his family, and his family, like a few refugees, are on like that ship. I did think that was interesting.
I thought that was interesting because anytime I've seen something like that, usually they're after a weapon.
Yeah.
Or some piece of technology.
Wait a minute. Refugees been reunited with their families when they
should. Oh, did
be.
You guys catch some of that? Like how these people were like horribly displaced and like they were all throughout the galaxy and they had nowhere to go and they were in grave danger.
It's the sick of Hollywood's liberal agenda.
Oh, so liberal.
Yeah, I noticed that too, y'all.
I didn't
notice Captain
that.
Marvel should be men. Her costume isn't exactly right for the comic books. I know because I just picked one up for the first time to be mad about it.
You're my
Why
favorite.
Why haven't I ever had sex? I hate women.
I'm an incel.
Brie Larson's a lesbian.
She's a bitch.
Here's the thing. I do want to get to that whole controversy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do want to get to that.
We will.
So just to kind of move the plot along a little bit, you know, Yon-Rogg and his group of you know, murderous assassin people, they eventually show up, and before we get to that, it is revealed that the visions that Carol Danvers was having were actually wrong. She actually, because the whole beginning you thought that it was a Skrull who had tried to shoot at her, and it actually was Yon-Rogg who had done it, and that she didn't die in the plane wreck. Mm-hmm. She actually absorbed the energy
by trying to blow it up.
Of the experimental
Dr. Manhattan style.
Yes. And honestly, the only thing I could say is like that basically she absorbed the energy derived from the Tesseract. Because the Tesseract is what everything is based on.
That's what it was.
So
now she's one of the Horcruxes.
She is one of the Horcruxes. She absorbed the energy, and that's where she gets her powers from.
Harry Potter.
That's why she can defeat Thanos. She's one of his Horcruxes.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, an Infinity Stone can only defeat an Infinity Stone. But anyway, you know, Yon-Rogg and his group show up and they trap Carol Danvers, and you know she's now battling this supreme intelligence inside her head, and this is the moment where she basically, you know, believes in herself,
takes her power back,
mm-hmm. And actually,
it's like a ladybug on her neck, and she's like, "Oh, I can just
she's
pick
like,
this off."
She's like, "I've only been using my powers with my hands behind my back," and boom, she takes it off, and that's when shit gets real.
Yeah, because she kind of says, "Suck it, haters."
She says, "Suck it, haters," and basically destroys all of the Kree. She beats the shit out of Yon-Rogg, and because he's like, well, you can try to fight me without your powers, man to man, and she just blasts him.
That was awesome.
That was great.
I did enjoy that.
I was like, why the
deal.
Fuck would you like, oh yeah, I'm not going to use my awesome powers.
Like, this is our
have.
Chance to fight each other with no powers, and she's like, yeah, fuck that. I can knock you into another galaxy.
Although that whole end scene, it was like, there's no drama whatsoever because she cannot be stopped.
I agree, John.
I'm going to get to that part because I see one flaw, and that's it. But I also have an answer for that. So to basically sum up, she beats the shit out of all the Kree, blows up a bunch of Ronin's spaceships that come out, because Yon-Rogg orders Ronin to bomb the Earth to eliminate the Skrulls as well as eliminate Carol Danvers.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work out too well for him, and we're left with an ending that basically establishes why the beeper's there, and it's mainly for Fury to communicate with her in the event that there is a serious emergency. She says specifically,
she makes an intergalactic beeper.
Yes, yeah. And honestly, that explains why she's never been called when other things have happened.
Do you think when there was an Age of Ultron, you should have given her a call? Or
no?
Or when there's
because there were the Avengers.
Well. If Tony Stark hadn't, like, collected a nuclear warhead and sent it into the space ball as it was sucking and blowing itself
then
up.
Then he probably would have called up Carol Danvers.
Well, he wouldn't have been able to call her up because a bomb would have gone off.
But I'm just saying. He relied on the team that he created first, which I get that, and it makes sense. Why would you do that? Call the Avengers, you know? So this basically sets a precedent of why we haven't seen Captain Marvel up until now.
Right.
And
because Kevin Feige hasn't needed her until now.
Pretty much. Yeah, Kevin Feige didn't hear the screams of women who said, why can't we have a female-led superhero movie?
For 10 years.
Thor's beautiful like a woman.
So,
a very muscular woman.
So to wrap this all up with a pretty bow before we get into the nitty-gritty of talking about some of the issues we have with it, you know, she takes the Skrulls and basically searches for a homeworld for them, as well as taking down the Kree personally, directly. And that's basically where the movie ends. Now, you guys have issues with it. Let me tell you first the one issue that I do have with it, and it's exactly what you brought up earlier, and that is that it seems like she doesn't have a equal to match her power in the film. Okay?
Okay.
Meaning there's no real drama.
There's no real drama. Now, I agree. And I can see where people would say, yeah, there's no real drama. She's basically tearing through all these people like tissue paper. I think that is fine, though, for an origin film. Where really, the purpose of this film is not to necessarily match her up with a big bad who's just as powerful as her.
So this is Superman 1, and then Superman 2 will bring in people.
That's the exact truth, because I mean, you look at Superman 1, Lex Luthor is a human being.
Yeah, it's really between Superman and a nuke.
Exactly. You know, so you know, I saw this as more or less this is the evolution of someone who is an imperfect superhero at the beginning of this. You know, she has a lot of issues with herself that she needs to resolve first. And she can't battle anyone who's even equal to her power without resolving those issues first and discovering who she is. So that's where this movie is necessary in establishing who she is. So I view that the next one doesn't have anything that can match her. Then I would agree that that's a lack of drama. But I think that for an origin film, it is really just supposed to introduce her to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and really just establish who she is and what she can do, what her powers are, that it's successful. Because it doesn't need to necessarily be one big bad versus another big bad. And that's kind of where I saw that Wonder Woman had the problem. And that's why that failed at the end. Because they had to throw the big bad who's just as powerful as Wonder Woman is. And it failed, in my opinion. That last half, last 48-year-old
English man.
48-year-old.
I am the devil.
I'm the devil.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just as powerful as her. Yeah. And that whole sequence was just a waste. Like, I felt it was a waste.
Yeah, that it did fall apart at the end. You know? I agree.
So that's the one caveat where I can see people saying, well, it wasn't a whole much drama. It's not about that. You know, it's about her discovering and resolving herself first.
Well, speaking of Wonder Woman, I mean, it's easy to kind of make the comparisons. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I feel like Wonder Woman did a better job with handling a female lead.
Yeah, I disagree.
So you have Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman, and this was Captain Marvel had two directors, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck.
Yeah.
And where I thought that Wonder Woman was a celebration of women, especially with the mascara and, you know, the whole island of women. And, I found that to be very empowering. What I didn't like about this movie, John and I talked about it like a little bit after the fact, like it almost seemed like it was a little pandering, where right before she steals the motorcycle, that one guy's like, why don't you smile? You'd be better if you smiled. I'm like, okay, guys, like we get it.
Yeah, but what'd she do after that?
She just stole a shit.
Yeah.
I think let me mansplain what she's trying to say. tell me if I'm right. It was just that it was so ham-fisted. That's
it was
go-to
very,
thing that...
It was like shoved down my throat, and like for a couple of the things, like it was just, you know, like, I don't know. It didn't feel authentic to me.
See, for me, I felt that it worked because, one, as you said, this is 1995. So there is that.
Mm-hmm.
The time was different a little bit. I think a little bit.
Smashing Pumpkins were good back then.
No, well, yeah, they were. But I do think that, you know, 95, that there was still, and there is still now to this point, you know, there are still men out there who have issues with women doing things.
Yeah, but it's the film's responsibility to teach us that that's wrong, and there's ways of doing that that they didn't necessarily... Like I said, it was just over the top when it happened. There was just a couple of instances, but...
But
it,
I think
it
it's
seemed...
supposed to establish her character, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those points...
I didn't help. Think the film did a good job.
It. And Lynn, you always talk about doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, but I do see a boardroom full of fat old white men.
Yeah, what are these broads all mad about? What can we do to make them all happy? And then they'll be like, oh, it's empowering to us, and we'll collect a bunch of paychecks and smack our secretaries' asses as they walk by. Oh, they don't like it when we tell them to smile? They don't? No, that's right, Jeff. They don't. They don't. They don't anymore. So we'll put that in the movie, and then she'll steal his motorcycle, and it's girl power, Spice Girls, or whatever, and we'll collect $1 million.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just, I have like
You're
a
saying
very...
saying that it's more nuanced in Wonder Woman than it is on this.
I can't necessarily like explain it, but I just feel like that Wonder Woman was a celebration of women in a way that I wanted Captain Marvel to be, but it wasn't. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I thought that, you know, her best friend Maria, like I thought she was a pretty strong character. The daughter Monica was a pretty strong character. I thought there were some strong women characters, but I just didn't feel like it celebrated women as much as I would have liked it to.
Fair enough.
Speaking of, should we talk about all the people that like hate women?
Yes.
Let's talk about people who hate me, guys.
Winners.
So my first question is this backlash actually real, or is it just like Ghostbusters bullshit?
It's manufactured.
Is it? Okay.
So
could it be both?
So I was looking at what led to this, and there's to give you the long and short of it. Basically, Brie Larson made comments. She made a comment, and there were two separate comments that have been turned by these incel motherfuckers and these, you know, man babies who basically they believe that she said that, oh, Captain Marvel's not for men. Like, that's what they have. They've said the Captain Marvel's not made for men. So fuck you, you know, and
because she has a vagina,
you know, so that's not exactly what she said. What she said was in regards to A Wrinkle in Time. Probably about, what, a year or two ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When that movie came out.
It was around this time last year.
Right.
And it was in reference to, you know, the reviews of A Wrinkle in Time. And what she basically said was that that movie was not really directed towards an audience of men when it was really made for women.
Yeah. And, you know, and I would imagine, too, like, you know, people of color as
yeah,
well.
People
because,
that
you
was,
know, there's a lot of representation.
Yes. And so she didn't really agree that, you know, a 40-year-old white male critic would get a movie that was not really made for that audience.
Well, and two, she's not wrong in her additional assessment that most, you know, movie critics are male and white. Yeah. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
And that's maybe not how things should be. Like,
oh, and I agree. And she also made, and this is part and parse with that, you know, the most recent one was that she mentioned how doing the press for Captain Marvel, how she noticed that, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of inclusivity with different races and gender of the press.
Okay, then that's also probably fair.
And you know what? She's right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean.
So what you're saying is Ken Feige is making a big propaganda machine against us real Americans. That's what you're telling me. That's clearly what we can gather from this.
Well, too, I mean.
Sick and tired of all these people telling me.
If you know anything about Brie Larson, though, I mean, she's like a huge advocate for women's rights, for human rights. You know, I mean, the movie that she was in, you know, The Room and everything,
room.
Like
a room, not the room,
not the room. God, not the room. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Room, room. Sorry, but yeah, I mean, she's and in her real life, I mean, she's a huge advocate for women's organizations, especially women who have been sexually assaulted. Like, I'll never forget when she had to present Casey Affleck with the acting trophy.
Yeah.
And then everybody applauded for him, and she stood there with her hands behind her back, and I wanted to hug her.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that moment so much. So, I mean, like, if you know Brie Larson, like, she's going to call the industry out on its bullshit. Yeah. And, like, if you don't expect that, then you're misinformed about who you're watching. Yeah.
But what this led to was basically a bunch of butthurt fanboys and incel fuckers flooding Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, trying to tank the reviews. And this is real, like not just up.
Yeah, okay. this is real.
Okay, like, just wondered.
This isn't a made up thing. So they did that. I think they also did to IMDb as well.
See, I could not disagree with the whole Ghostbusters thing more. Like, if you're mad just because they're women, then like you're an idiot. But like, Captain Marvel was and always will be a woman. So what are you really so offended by?
Yeah, that's
what
I thought
too. You haven't read
the
comics. I'm like, you just want to be mad about something.
You just don't like Brie Larson. Like that's ultimately what it is.
Or you don't like that there's not that the superhero movie. The superhero doesn't look like you.
Yeah.
And that's so tough because, like, I can't explain what that's like, you know? Like, I don't know what it's like to be constantly represented, you know? Like, I don't know when you... Maybe that's why I'm so tired of Marvel and this is the first time I've... If I'd had this movie sooner, maybe I could emotionally connect. But a lot of the time, I don't feel like Marvel is for me because I don't see a lot of myself in it, you know? Because, yeah, you have Black Widow, but then you also have the character that Leslie Bibb played. You asked me about her the other night, John. She played that, like, journalist, and she sleeps with Tony, and then Piper has that great line of, like, taking out the trash. Like, that's the other woman represented in the universe. You know what I mean? Like, there isn't anybody that I can really relate to, and I really hated what they did with Black Widow's character when they were like...
Oh, in Age of Ultron?
Yeah, I really hated all that.
Where
so
they
I mean,
can't have babies.
I can't have babies. I'm a monster.
You know, so yeah. And so like, I don't know. I feel a little sad all the time with Marvel because I feel a little left out all the time. And that's what that feels like.
Oh, I get that. I
so
completely
if,
get that.
If someone had to sit through it for one movie, boo-hoo. We're like 20 movies deep of me feeling like that.
But honestly, like, I didn't have any problem with any of what she said.
That's because you're not an asshole.
Yeah, there's
like,
nothing
what it,
about this
what
movie.
Did she, there's nothing about this movie to be given a 55% audience rating.
Yeah, that's
on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was like 30% the other day until like more people went to go see it.
If this movie was just radical propaganda, then I would happily call it out. But it's just a superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie.
A superhero origin movie where she fights some people, kicks some butt, and there's lasers out of her hands, and then they win the day.
And I mean,
and it sets up the next movie. This is like every other one of them.
And
movies.
Here's the other thing too.
There's nothing to be offended by.
Well, here's the other thing too. You know, I'm sorry, but this woman is a woman in the military. And women in the military face a lot of shit.
Still.
And this movie honestly played it light in terms of how much shit.
Oh, yeah.
That Carol Danvers face.
Yeah, because she wasn't allowed to like run certain missions because she was a woman. There's only a few things she could do.
And you know what? That's a real thing.
Yeah.
That is a real fucking thing.
Totally.
So, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, you have instances in the military where women are sexually assaulted.
Oh, yeah.
And not just, oh, you know, this is why the cockpit is called a cockpit. You know, it's other shit. So they're not wrong in pointing that stuff out in this movie, because it does happen, and it is a real thing. Is that part of her character? Yeah, it is, and more reason for it. That's what I said. I don't have a problem too much with those sorts of things, because she does rise above it and does confront it.
But, I mean, it can be a lot worse than it's portrayed.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, actually, there's a great documentary on sexual assault in the military called The Invisible War.
We all
saw it at Chatham.
We did. Yeah. We all saw it.
But it's an excellent movie if anyone wants to like learn a little bit more about that, because I was blown away. I had no idea.
Neither did
it
I.
It was so bad.
Neither did I. But, you know, the controversy around this, I was like, what the fuck is the controversy around a Marvel movie of all things?
Manufactured controversy.
It's completely manufactured. Now, the Ghostbusters thing, you know,
now, that
I
was
just
something
didn't
Sony.
Like it.
That's what something that was something Sony did though, right? Like Sony made that come about so people would talk about the movie more.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was.
Did it actually come out?
Yeah.
John, you had a little bit more of a beat on that, right?
Yeah. Well, apparently, in terms of like even just the comment section, say like on the trailers, if you actually did the amount of people that commented on it, only 0.0001% of people were just saying like, "Women are bitches and Melissa McCarthy's fat." You know, like, that was only, like, such a small, like, less than 1%.
Right.
But Sony went through and deleted all the negative comments, like, boy, that trailer looks like it's not going to be a very good movie. Or that looks like it was hastily edited. And they removed those.
But so they kept the other ones.
They kept the good comments and the troll comments.
Oh, those sons of bitches.
I know.
So that they could manufacture outrage to create people that want to go see this movie because of all the flurry between men versus women, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I learn something new every day.
Yeah. That's why I was a little nervous about what was going on with the Rotten Tomatoes thing with Captain Marvel. I was like, oh, God, is Marvel doing this too?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I was worried about that.
This is a legit thing.
Yeah.
That Rotten Tomatoes had to change their whole algorithm and how they take in audience critiques because of this.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, you know, Rotten Tomatoes is unfortunately a main source, and people live and die by that sort
apparently
of
now it just became this juggernaut over like the last year.
It's been this way for a while.
Has it? I feel like it's been more prevalent to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year. Well, I don't know.
The thing is, like, with this movie, if it was Captain Dave Marvel and it's the exact same movie.
Captain Dave Marvel. Yeah.
About some guy who was told, you can't cut it here in the Air Force, and you'll never amount to anything, son, you know, and then he goes and, you know, becomes a superhero and then stops the bad guys. All these haters would be like, oh, it's the greatest movie ever. It's like, oh, but only because that character has a vagina and is not named Dave.
Ah! Yes.
This is trying to indoctrinate me in a liberal agenda.
I even saw, like, on Twitter, people were saying, go see Alita Battle Angel instead of this.
Oh, I saw that, too. God damn.
Which, yeah. Like,
we're tired of you hating us, Marvel and Disney.
Disney. Meh.
You hate us.
This is all because of Star Wars Last Jedi. Meh. SJW. Meh.
It's like, do you guys know that the original Star Wars was pretty political, too?
A little
right?
bit.
Yeah.
It was against Nixon. Let's
Nixon
be honest
and
here.
Vietnam, and Leia was a part of like the feminist movement.
Yeah.
Guys, it's always been that way. That George Lucas is one of them old school snowflake liberals stealing it.
Oh my God!
So, just to wrap this up, where do you guys think? What about this movie? And then just where do you see it going with the rest of the MCU?
I mean,
she saves the day somehow, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I think this film was a positive force moving forward because it was a female led hero film. But I think as a film, I think it was a cookie cutter, paint by numbers Marvel film. I don't think it really added anything new.
Yeah, it was
and
fine.
I think it was only there for two reasons. They needed to explain who she was so she can be in Endgame, and also because they just needed yet another movie before Endgame.
Fair enough.
I guess.
So I was entertained.
Yeah,
but
it was fine.
I'm not going to like hold it in my memory for a real long time. I'll put
it's
it
It's hard to hold any of these Marvel films in your memory for a really long time.
And that's, I think that's a problem. I'm sorry.
That's the problem with the whole franchise, like Avengers and I guess now Black Panther.
You know,
but
which ones?
That, like, do you
Iron
really
Man,
remember these?
First Iron Man and Avengers.
I know because we've talked about Marvel in general on the show millions of times. I was not really impressed by the first Iron Man movie. I feel like I'm kind of on an island out
there. Yeah, you're an island out there.
Yeah.
When I saw Jeff Bridges, like, well, you're the enemy. You're going to build a
bald, so you must be the enemy.
You're going to build a giant Iron Man suit yourself, and then you guys are going to have a big CGI Iron Man fight, and then Iron Man's going to win. Is that this whole fucking movie? Is that what I'm saying? It's exactly what the movie was. It's fair one enough. Robert Downey Jr. performance away from being Transformers.
I'm curious to see, you know, if a lot of the personality that Carol Danvers has in this first movie carries over to Infinity War and how she interacts with, you know, characters that have been established over multiple films. So it'll be interesting to see that happens. And then also just see, you know, is she someone who has to go toe-to-toe with Thanos and what that details?
I think she can kick his ass off.
I think she can, too. Woo-woo. So, yeah, not bad, guys. Not bad.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, when I walked in and I was like, eh, and you were like, oh no. I mean, I didn't hate it, but like,
See, here's the thing. Lauren and I both liked it.
I'm just so tired of. I'm tired of Marvel.
6.5 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. Oh man, 6.5. Jeez.
Yeah, I give it like a 6. I gave
Infinity War 5.5 out of 10.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. I think Infinity War shit. I don't give numbers, but if I had to, I'd say that's probably about a 7, 7.5.
Brian gives a thumbs up, a gold star, and 10 points to Gryffindor.
Sure, why not? So, John, where can they find you at on the Twitter machine?
Twitter.
The Unreal J. Wolves.
And Lane?
LA_Croft.
You can also find me at I Hate Captain Marvel and her vagina.
Amazing.
Her stupid boobs. Why won't she let
and
me touch
her stupid boobs. Wow. Oh, my God. Okay.
You can find me at Brian Connington. I also run the Psycho Show page. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, at Psycho Show. You can also find us on the Epicast Network at epicastnetwork.com. If you have a favorite movie or question you want to throw away, or you too are looking for the Infinity Cock Ring, you can contact us at cinemapsychoshow.com.
What did you say?
Bangos.
Oh, wow.
And make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, and we will see you next time.
Black widows should be men!
Epicast.